This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 32. Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert, your host. Welcome to the show. Today, we'll be talking with Aldo de Rusta on how he was able to just work half the year and the other half of the time, he's enjoying himself. This is something that I have never heard about before. Being able to work only half a year and the other half, you can do whatever you like and getting paid good money to do so. So join me in welcoming Aldo de Rusta.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast here with Aldo de Rusta from Australia. And today we are going to be talking about how Aldo has been able to work half a year and also make six figures while traveling the world. Great to have you on the show, Aldo.
Cheers, good to be here, man. Chilling out. Good vibes here.
Yeah, we're here chilling by the pool in Chiang Mai. So just wanted to just quickly jump right in. Aldo, how did you get started? Like, what was your journey like coming here to from where you started back in university, graduating, and then working for yourself and working only half a year? And being able to make good money and spending the rest of your time just doing your own thing.
Yeah,
take
right.
Take us through it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit of a journey, but I'll take you guys through it. So I guess it started, in late high school. In Australia, we have high school. I think in the US, you guys call it something else, hey?
What do you secondary.
Call it? Oh, secondary school. Yeah. Late secondary school. And there's sort of a lot of pressure to get good grades at the end of secondary school so that you can make it into university. So I have two older brothers who influenced my life a lot. One's a chemical engineer with a master's in petroleum engineering, and the other one's got a double degree in mining and civil engineering. So naturally, I was going to compete with them and try, you know, do the best job and get the best career. So I went into university and studied a geophysics degree. So exploration geophysics, it's sort of, you can think of it sort of like geology engineering and finding minerals below the ground. I did that degree, it took 4 years, and then I did what every sort of respectable Western member of society would do and get a job straight away in the corporate world. So I worked for one of the top three oil and gas companies in Australia, what's considered to be the dream job, you know, on six figures first year out. And, you know, it was awesome at the time. And when I got the job, you know, my parents were proud. My brothers were respectfully jealous, which was which was good. And then, you know, I started my career in the office in oil and gas. And it was awesome for the first probably 6 months. And, you know, when everyone's applauding you that you got this high-paying job with career growth aspects and all that, I realized after time the office life just wasn't for me, you know. Going into the office every day, the routine, the gossip, the sort of talk around the water cooler. It was a bad time to be in the office as well in oil and gas because oil and gas price was plummeting. So I think that really impacted my my experience in that industry. I'm not saying it's a bad industry, but just my experience in the office. So I fortunately actually, when oil and gas price plummeted, I was one of the first ones in the door. So I was one of the first ones out of the door. So I got made redundant. And I wish everyone could be made redundant. It pretty much just means you get fired, but you get a payout. Because it just gives you this new perspective on life. You know, you've got a chance to do whatever you want. You know, you can decide what sort of lifestyle you want to live or what life you want to live. So I really took a step back and had this big thing happen to me. And I decided I love exploring, that's what I love, and I love lifestyle as well at the same time, you know, not working 48 weeks of the year out of 52 and begging for, you know, your 4 weeks off a year. So I was lucky enough to find a gig where I could work however much I wanted to work, which was half a year, you know, work half the year and play half the year is my mentality. I think everyone should be striving to working and only half the year because it frees up so much time for other projects in the other half of the year, giving back, contributing, charity work or starting your own business. So So now the last 2 years, I've been working as an exploration geophysicist mainly in mineral exploration and research. And I work all over the world. So I've been to places like the highlands of Papua New Guinea. I've explored across Canada for a couple of months. I've worked in Turkey. And I've pretty much been to every desert in Australia. So,
How many are there?
There's a lot. Nah, the center is probably just one big desert, but they just name it different deserts. Yeah, so I work roughly, it's not a strict roster, but I work roughly 1 month on, 1 month off. But that's the average sort of that I work. So I get contract jobs where I manage teams of up to 30 people, locals and employees, and explore for minerals for bigger mining companies, in exploration. So I was working half the year and I was thinking, what do I do the rest of the year? So I started up this passion project of mine, Ultimate Lifestyle, was where I pretty much on a mission to meet other people who are working half the year as well, but earning good incomes and having a good lifestyle. So not necessarily on big bucks, but just prioritizing lifestyle, I guess, is the main thing.
What have you been able to do in that half year? I mean, so far, like, I know you're traveling, but when you're traveling for work, do you also get to spend time just hanging out, or do you have to, like, you know, that period of time you have to work after that month is up and the next month comes around, you can go and play?
Yeah, so working in exploration out in the field, it is longer days because, you know, when you're out in the field, you've got data to acquire, exploration to do. So it roughly can be anywhere between 10 to 12 hour days. Mm. So it does take up a big chunk of your time and it is sort of mentally and physically challenging, which I like as well. You know, hiking up and down the jungles of Papua New Guinea, you know, it's not for everyone, but for me, it's, you know, it's adventure, which is
it's
one of
pretty
my
epic.
Highest values. Yeah. So it is long days and you don't always have Wi-Fi and things like that. But at the end of the day, there's just no distractions. You get your breakfast, lunch and dinner provided and you can, you know, just focus on, you know, reading books, educating yourself and, I mean, there's not a lot of free time in that month, but then, I mean, you have a whole month off after that, so you can really, pursue your other hobbies or passions and get that happening as well.
So what is the reaction of your, you know, friends and family when they found out that you're only working half the year, but then you're able to do all this and still make, like you said, six figures in your work?
I think they keep saying, well, you know, it's not going to last forever and it's not a real job, get a real job. But that's the thing. I think that's the thing with living this lifestyle and prioritizing, you know, what your values are, adventure, freedom. You know, the only true currency in this life is time. So I don't really mind how much I make. It's more important to me how much time I have. But yeah, my friends and family, they still don't believe that it's going to last forever. And I'm sort of on this mission to prove to them that it will, you know, last forever. And I will spend my whole life only working half the year.
Wow.
Because I think everyone should be striving to do something like this, you know, get away from that office job or the job you're doing and try gain back some of your time in this life.
I also see that you're doing like charity. You're going to India, right? After your trip in Chiang Mai. Maybe share a bit about what inspired you to do that and, how has that played a role, like doing charity work, volunteer work? How does that play a role in your happiness and your well-being?
Yeah, that's right. Look, I am going to India in 2 weeks' time to volunteer in a charity called Hands on India.
Okay.
I'm fortunate enough to be partners with my girlfriend, who is a locum chiropractor, who I've convinced also to live this lifestyle of working half the year. So she works 1 month on, 1 month off as well.
Oh, what is she? So she does that for her job as well?
Yeah, that's her job, a chiropractor, but she locum chiropractics all around Australia, sort of filling in 1 month here and there. So that's just a different way she's chosen to live as well. So it works really well for us. And part of that is her free time. She's involved with a charity called Hands on India, which is a chiropractic charity where they go over every year to India. She's done it 3 years in a row. And fortunately enough, I don't work an office job. So now I can go with her and experience and help, you know, help this charity where they treat Indians out in rock breaking communities, so yeah. Where you know really harsh environments, and they help them with sort of any spinal injuries they have or any medical needs they need. Mm. But also they set up sustainable projects. Like one of the projects is they use the funds that we've raised, so it's all we all pay for all our flights, everything. Just the charity and the donations we get, we fund these projects that are going throughout the year. So one of them is with the funds we get from donations, you buy a family 2 pigs and then they mate the pigs and they have more pigs and then they sell the pigs to get money for food and things like that. So it's sort of, it's a project that they can grow their own business and empower them to grow their own sort of small business and survive off that instead of having to break rocks all day, every day. So it gives them an opportunity and things like building schools and that. Mm. So it's definitely something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I've always been volunteering as a surf lifesaver, but this is sort of new to me is having all this time is to give back and do some charity work, some physical work where you're there helping out and setting up projects. So I think it really does. Yeah, it's definitely makes me a lot happier is to contribute.
So you've been doing this for the last 2 years, right?
Well, I've only worked a year, I guess.
Yeah, technically you worked a year in the last two years. So how can somebody get started with this? Like if they're working in a current corporate job and they want to make the transition, whether that involves a pay cut or somehow, you know, gives them the same income but working half the time, how can they get started with this?
Yeah, that's it. There's no sort of one size fits all answer to this. I guess I could mention a few things. I think first of all, it's a mentality, you know. You have to be in the mindset that time is more important and more valuable to you than money. Because if you don't have that mindset, you will just work and work and you won't want to gain back any of your time and you'll get in this rat race and you won't be able to get out. So a big book that influenced my thinking and my mentality is The 4-Hour Work Week. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of by Tim Ferriss. And I think it's influenced a lot of people living these sort of lifestyles throughout the world. So definitely if you haven't read that and get in the right mentality of gaining back your time. So some of the things you can do is sort of talk to your supervisor, your boss, and try and negotiate getting your work and completing your work outside of the office, so taking your work home with you if that's available to you, whatever office job you have. And then once you get your work home with you, you can be a lot more efficient with doing that work.
Yeah.
So then you say, okay, can I have Fridays to work at home? So then you start working Fridays, you complete the work, you do a good job, but you can also do it much more efficiently and maybe work half a day on a Friday instead of a full day. So that all of a sudden you're gaining back half a day, you know, there in 1 week. So then you can just progress on that and more start working more from home. And that's one way I think that you could do it.
Another
way,
incremental, right?
Yeah, another thing I think is sabbaticals. I'm not sure if they have it in the US, but definitely in Australia you can request a sabbatical. So you take 6 months off to either, you know, volunteer in a charity or do some sort of self-development and growth. A lot of companies these days are open to that. Another way I'll mention as well is short-term contract work. So if you're in a position where you have a skill set, if you're working in an office, you have some sort of skill set to offer, can you possibly take on contract jobs where you work for 6 months in, I know civil construction engineering, you can get jobs where you do 6 months on and then look for another contract. It's not as stable, but you know, you've got 6 months where you can take off and look for a different contract. Yeah, become your own contractor or become, better yet, become self-employed, which you push a lot on your podcast as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's people listening to this, either some of them are entrepreneurs or they are, you know, they want to be entrepreneurs or they are looking to be location independent in some way, shape, or form. No, this incremental negotiation with the supervisor and employer, it sounds like it's a good way to start and start to slowly gain back power of your time and of your day. I mean, if you're only working half on Friday, then the other half you can go and spend time with your loved ones or go and explore the city, try something new, and so forth. So
work on your own.
Yeah, work on your own business. So do you have tips for people that want to live this lifestyle? Starting off by asking their employer, but how do they sort of, is there any particular script or anything that you would adhere to when you would talk to, when you talk to your boss about it?
Yeah, this is a tricky question, because I guess every job is, you know, its own job and its own sort of, in its own industry and with its own challenges. So you really have to be able to read what position you're in, what your manager is like, and really have a good relationship with your supervisor or manager.
Yeah.
If you hate your supervisor or manager, he knows, and you know, he or she is not gonna respect your decision to try, you know, work from home and be more sort of independent in getting your work done. So definitely have a good relationship with your supervisor or manager, or really develop that skill set. Yeah, and go out on your own, you know, be self-employed. Don't do it straight away. Keep working, but you know, spend your weekends working on your own side hustle, side business.
Yeah. There's
some big names out there that help with that, like Gary Vaynerchuk and Side Hustle School.
So for you, what is living on your edge for you? What is living your edge?
For me, it's not following the standard life plan. It's living an alternative plan. It doesn't necessarily mean working half the year. You know, it just means following your own sort of mission and goal in life, and not being influenced by what society wants you to do.
Mm.
So do what you want to do. Don't do what society says is right or makes you look good in society's eyes. Yeah, live your edge in a way that it's true to you. You know, be authentic about it and be altruistic about it. So don't, you know, maybe this sounds cool to you. Oh, I want to work half a year because you're doing it. Don't just do it because somebody else is doing it. Think about, what's true to you and live your own edge.
Do you have a way of identifying what would be true to somebody? Like, is there any sort of question you would ask yourself that the audience can ask themselves when they are trying to identify what is sort of this authentic life that they want, they've always wanted but haven't yet acted on?
One of the massive turning points of my life, which I wish I did earlier on in life, was take an online personality test, Myers-Briggs test. There's one, 16personalities.com. It's just a free online test you can do. And it is amazing the sort of... If you truly answer the questions correctly in your own mind and not think about how somebody else would want you to answer them, you can get really good results that will give you a real good idea on your strengths, your weaknesses, what your relationships are like, and what career paths you could go in, and whether you have what it takes to... Are you sort of entrepreneurial by nature, or are you someone who, you know, who does well in a comfortable office job? You know, it's not for everyone, you know, going out of the office job and working half the year. So definitely I'd recommend do a personality test and get to know yourself, be self-aware on who you are.
So finding out who you are and identifying your personality and sort of living based on that personality rather than trying to fit into, for instance, society's way of wanting you to live. Maybe it's an office, or maybe it's something inconsistent to who you are. So more or less, you are location independent, right?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, for the work that I do when I am working, the job could be in Australia, it could be in Turkey, it could be in Canada. You know, it's an international job, and I get contracts wherever I'd like to work, you know, if there is work going on there. So I think next year there's some work coming up in South America that I might get onto. Just depends where I want to work is where I'll push to get a job in. So I'm working towards being more location independent when I'm not out in the field, I guess. So half of the year,
Is there ever like a loneliness period?
I think, that's a good question, because I mean, when you're out in the field for a month at a time, I could be in the middle of the desert, no Wi-Fi, just a satellite phone, which you can speak to your friends and family maybe 5 minutes a week, you know, because it's so broken and so expensive to talk on a satellite phone. So, I mean, it can get lonely when you're out there, but at the same time, you're always with a team. So you always have at least one other person you're working with who you can really get to know on a deeper level. So to give you an example, I was working in the office for about a year and a half by the time I finished. And I was sitting next to a guy who was also in my team, and I didn't know him as well as I knew someone I did 1 month with out in the field. When you're living together, when you're working together, when you do everything together for 1 month, you just get to know each other so well and on a deeper level. So I really am grateful for the sort of connections I can make with people when you're out in the desert, no social media, no phone, no nothing, and you can really connect on that deeper level.
So this is probably a question that some nomads might have, which is, let's say you meet your coworkers on the field for the month. You don't see them after that month is over, right? They might be going on to other projects or...
Yeah, they might be traveling for a month or something like that, but my hometown's Perth, and I work with a guy from Perth, and when we have a month off and we choose to go home, isn't that often, usually traveling or something, but we'll catch up for sure. We're like best friends, you know, we keep in touch, and as I said, we have that deeper connection, we really know each other, you know,
because a lot of digital nomads, when they're visiting different countries and they build relationships there, there is what we call, like, you know, the time where they have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing to do when you just got there, you spent a month in the country, you made some good friends, and it's time to say goodbye. Have you ever had these sort of experiences where it's really tough to just kind of let go? And this is sort of the part of the nomad lifestyle that doesn't get talked about as much. And I like to cover it a bit because it is what it is, right? Because we do need to make trade-offs when we travel and we're location dependent or we're somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's always one of the hardest things, is to let go. But I think I sort of have a mentality where you've learned so much from that person, and that person's helped you grow so much that, you know, that they'll always have a lasting impact on your life rather than, you know, someone you might just meet in your office job or something. This person has a different way of thinking, might be from a different culture, different place in the world. So they really have that lasting effect on your life. I think as well with digital nomads and the nomad lifestyle, the beauty of it as well is that, you know, these people are in it for the long term, the real sort of true digital nomads who love the lifestyle and want to do it long term.
Yeah.
So the chances are you're going to see them again, you know. So I always bump into people and catch up with people all over the world that I've met. So
it's farewell for now, but it's never forever.
Yeah, it really isn't. And I mean, with social media these days, you know, I have a lot of like really good friends who I talk to online and keep connected with for years, and I only see them once every few years, but they're some of my best friends. So I think there's definitely room for that.
And I think when transitioning from just being in one location to becoming, you know, multi-location, location dependent, or even a nomad, is it something that needs to be, it's like a rite of passage where people would have to learn to accept that sometimes the people that you spend the most time with, you won't be with them all the time or even nearly as much. You might, again, meet them for a month and then you don't know when is the next time you'll see them. But at the same time, you are open to the idea that the universe works in mysterious ways. So if you do see them again, it's awesome. And even if not, like you said, they have imparted a piece of their experience, their life, and their influence on you.
Yeah, I don't let it hold me back at all in terms of connecting with that person. I go all in, you know, with people I meet and I feel a connection with. You know, I can tell if I have a connection with someone within the first 5 or 10 minutes of meeting them, and I'll go all in, and, you know, I'll share everything about my life story and they'll share everything about their life story. And, you know, that really has a lasting impact on a person. Digital nomads are more open to that, I feel, in my experience. So, or just nomads in general, you know, people traveling are more open to these experiences and opening up to people.
Whereas back home, people might be a bit resistant.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny because I think in my experience, when I learned to embrace the fact that, you know, you might not see them again if once you bid farewell, but I started opening up to people, like you said, a lot easier because I know that, you know, life is too short to just like kind of hold back and not let people see you for who you are. And so actually, in a way, it can be a blessing to be able to open up that easily to somebody and in turn inspire them to open up to you.
Exactly.
Awesome stuff, man. If there's one piece of advice you'd like to leave the audience with, comes to, you know, becoming location independent, you know, making money working half the year, or any other travel tips and work-life balance tips, anything you'd like to share with the audience, what would that be?
Yeah, great question, man. Covering a lot of bases there. But I'd definitely say educate yourself, guys. Read some books. I know Gilbert's got a lot of books on his podcast that he recommends to read, and just a few of them, Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Workweek.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've read Vagabonding. That's a great book for sort of beginner travelers and getting in this mindset of being on the road, vagabonding.
Okay.
And Think and Grow Rich really impacted my life, and the way you see money and assets versus liabilities and saving money for the future instead of just spending it on consumerist sort of items and that. So that would be first, educate yourself, find books on self-development, always self-development. Thinking in a different way to what society wants you to think, I think is key. So you're going to learn how to think that way in these books. Rich Dad, Poor Dad as well, for sure. Put that in there. The next thing I'd say is, yeah, if you're sort of maybe younger or you don't really know who you are yet fully, and I'd definitely do some sort of online personality test that gives you all that feedback on your strengths and weaknesses and relationships and career advice and that. So you can really get to know yourself better and understand. It's not an exact test, but it'll give you a better understanding of who you are and where your values lie. And that's the first thing, is self-awareness, guys. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to go to where you want to get to. So say those are the two main ones. And then any travel tips? See if you can get work to pay for it, I guess. Pay for your travel. That's what I do. I get flown all around and accommodation, food covered. So if you can find a job that you travel with work, I mean, everyone talks about it, but I don't know that many people actually do it, a career that is. So either find a career that does that, or create your own business where you can work online from anywhere in the world. I think, you know, this whole push for online location independence is just blowing up, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And I think they say in the next few years, I think by 2020, sort of 50% of jobs are going to be online or something like that. So I'm not sure exactly, but it's definitely a big push for online location independent work. So there's plenty of opportunities out there, guys. You just got to want it enough. So I think that's the advice I'd give you. Yeah.
Thanks for the advice, Aldo. And if people would like to find you on online, the social media, where can they reach you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Where can people get a hold of me? As we've talked about, I'm all about lifestyle, and I've created a website and a movement called the Ultimate Lifestylers Movement. So this is where, you know, I believe that everything in life comes down to the lifestyle you want to live. So what career path you go, where you work, how you earn your income, and whether you want to travel, this is all part of your lifestyle. So I created a Ultimate Lifestyler, so ultimatelifestylers.com, to learn more about sort of my story, and also Ultimate Lifestylers podcast. So this is where I interview other people who have similar lifestyles to me, where they're sort of either location dependent or work half the year, or they really have control of their time. So I'm also on Instagram, Ultimate Lifestylers. Check it out. Some inspiring stuff on there, travel photos and that. Yeah, or just hit me up on my email, ultimatelifestylers@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear your story. And, you know, if you're living your ultimate lifestyle, I'd like to feature it on my podcast or my website as well. So get in touch, guys.
Awesome, Aldo. Great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, man. It's been awesome.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.